Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks so much for listening to this podcast from Live the Promise. There are many more podcasts available up on the website at myfaithradio.com. And your support makes this possible. Thank you. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Really glad you tuned in today. Well, when you think about it, when we hit burnout, when things sort of, when the wheels kind of come off the cart, if you look back and retrace your steps, like, how did I get here? I am so fried. I'm so burnt out. I've lost perspective. How did I get here? More often than not, the two disciplines we let go of long before we hit burnout are these: physical and spiritual disciplines. Our physical and our spiritual health are often the first two things that we neglect before we even realize what it's doing to us. Because it's almost like you feel like you gain a few hours in your day and in your week if you don't exercise, don't take time to pray or reflect. You get a few hours, you gain them back, but in the long term, it costs you more than you were ever willing to pay. So today we're going to talk about how to prioritize our physical and spiritual health. What does balance really look like in every season of life? Because if balance is just a put together looking life and getting all your ducks in a row, what does balance look like for the person whose spouse has cancer, for the person who's lost their job, or the person who's injured temporarily? What does balance look like there? We're going to kind of redefine balance. And I want you to know, I'll be drawing from the content of one of my very first books I ever wrote, my actual first trade book I got published, titled Balance That Works When Life Doesn't. And it's all about physical and spiritual health. The book is over a decade old, but I've still got copies. And I'm going to give away five copies today to some of you who write in. Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Tell me this. What's your most life-giving discipline? It can be either physical or spiritual. What's that thing that brings life to you? Doesn't mean you do it all the time. Doesn't mean you even do it consistently. But when you do it, you go, why did I ever let go of this? This thing gives me life. What is that? Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. And if you want to be put in the drawing for a copy of the book, Balance That Works, make sure you include your address. If you want to call, you sure can do that, too. I'd love to chat with you. 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. I'm going to get into the content here on a healthy physical and spiritual life. Second hour, I'll be talking to Lauren Chandler. That's Matt Chandler's wife. She's got a brand new book out called Steadfast Love, talking about how the anchor holds, that our soul's anchor, anchored to Christ, it holds in the storms. She'll share a little bit about her life storm of when her husband, Matt, had a brain tumor that looked like it would forever change their lives, and what that storm taught her about God. So a couple of really good hours up ahead. Okay, let me read you this passage from 1 Corinthians 9:24-27. Remember that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize. You also must run in such a way that you will win. All athletes practice strict self-control. They do it to win a prize that will fade, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run straight to the goal, listen, with purpose in every step. I'm not like a boxer who misses the punches. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. Why do you think Paul talked about that? I buffet my body. I make it my slave. I train it to do what it should because I fear that if I don't, after preaching to you, I'll disqualify myself. Because our physical disciplines really are a gateway to every other downfall. If we can't say no to our flesh, boy, that enemy will find an open door to steal, kill, and destroy our lives, our influence, and our credibility. I'm going to talk about physical and spiritual health here. And when we start to embrace that God has a purpose and a plan for our lives that truly goes beyond our imagination, and that He wants us prepared, then we'll be inspired and motivated to narrow our focus, to choose wisely, and to make our days count. And here's what I want you to hear. Focused passion equals forward movement. Focused passion equals forward movement. When we're running, when we're spread so thin, we've got our hands in way too many things. We don't have forward movement. We don't have focused passion. But when we bring it in, right, and we do the things God wants us to do, and we do the things that are life-giving to our physical and spiritual health, that's how we last long and finish strong, which you hear me talk about a lot on this show. So before we get into what balance is, let me tell you what balance is not. Because from scriptural perspective, from a Christian perspective, balance looks different on those who have a worldly perspective. 2 Corinthians 2:15 says, our lives are a fragrance presented by Christ to God, but this fragrance is perceived differently by those being saved and by those perishing. We are going to have some core convictions that don't resonate with the rest of the world. That has to be okay. So what balance is not for the Christ follower? It's not a put-together appearance. You know what? Having traveled the country over and talked to thousands and thousands of people, some who appear the most put together are often the most imbalanced people. They're overemphasizing appearance at the expense of true personal growth. These very put together people have told me, yes, I have a knack for looking put together, but my marriage is in shambles, or our finances are in shambles, or I have no self-image. I deal perpetually with insecurity. And so put together appearance is not necessarily an indicator that you have your life in balance. However, I will tell you that as you start to prioritize your physical and spiritual health, you may see the fruit of that. You may look a little bit more put together because you're not running so frantically, but that's not the ultimate goal, right? It may be the fruit of a balanced life, but if it ends up being the end goal, you can sacrifice a lot to be looking put together, right? Okay, balance is also not a perfectly managed schedule. You know, many who make their schedule their goal, they end up serving it and forgetting about little things like, say, I don't know, people. You know what I mean? Where they're like, I'd love to help you. I know you're hurting, but this is normally when I do my workout. So sorry, I can't help you. You know what I'm saying? Where they serve their schedule and their schedule is king. Now, balance isn't a perfectly managed schedule. True balance has a flexibility and adaptability to it. And true balance calls for right priorities. However, when you maintain balance, in other words, when you prioritize your physical and your spiritual health, your schedule will feel more doable and you will have more margin in your life. Again, not the end goal, but it is some of the fruit of that abiding life of putting on your own oxygen mask and taking care of yourself. Balance is not a life free of conflict and difficulty. Listen, there's a big difference between being a peacekeeper and a peacemaker. That peacekeeper works tirelessly to avoid conflict and kind of preserve the appearance, you know, all is well, no conflict here. Whereas the peacemaker is determined to have inner peace and to live from that truth. In other words, we'll deal honestly with conflict. It's not easy. We don't run towards conflict, but we want a deeper peace. James 3:18 says, those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of goodness. So what is balance? Well, here's another passage for you. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have in God, and you are not your own? You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So when you are abiding in Christ, there will be times that you have conflict, and there'll be times that you are in harmony with relationships. But as you abide in Christ, you tend more towards harmony in relationships. There'll be times when your schedule looks turned upside down, maybe because of crisis. But if you're abiding in Christ, you will find that sweet spot. But if you, as you abide as a way of life and you learn to take your cues from God and do the things he tells you to, overall, your schedule will look a little bit more put together. Your life will look a little bit more put together, right? And your relationships will actually run a little bit better. But we do this by trusting in the Lord. In my book, Balance That Works When Life Doesn't, here I'm speaking to women. So guys, I hope you can just translate this to apply to yourself, because this is not just for women. But here's a list of what a balanced woman is. Are you ready? Someone who, even though she's cleaning the house to prepare for company, takes her little ones outside and runs around with them for a while. Someone who would rather bless than impress. Someone who dares to say no to something she's not called to, even though she might disappoint others. Someone who senses a call on her life and dares to say yes, even though she feels unqualified. Someone who guards and protects her time spent with the Lord. Someone who gives herself the gift of exercising several times per week. Someone who's willing to interrupt her workout if a friend needs prayer or her child needs a hug. Someone who, several times a day, pauses to acknowledge God's presence in her life. Someone who, even in crisis or a valley, will look for God's purpose and count on his provision. Someone who refuses a busied, harried lifestyle. Someone who gives herself and her children plenty of time to get out the door. Someone who's willing to push herself beyond what's comfortable for the purpose of growth. Someone who's teachable. Someone who's flexible. Someone who has self-control. Someone who hates gossip. Someone who loves peace. Someone who looks at difficult people with God in mind. someone who holds tight to faith, hope, and love. What is balance? You know what it is? It's finding the high ground in every situation. Whether in crisis or in times of peace, there's a high ground for you. It's the abiding life. It's the place where we bear the most fruit. But there are tangible, practical choices we can make in the physical and the spiritual realm to strengthen our bodies and our souls so that we can last long and finish strong. Before we go to break, we're going to hear a song, a portion of a song from Robin Mark, just to remind us that it's not by might, it's not by power, as the Bible says, it's by a spirit. This is how we live that balanced, strong, abiding life. Let's listen in.
Nor even part. flow. There's so many hurting people in this place, Lord. There's so many hurting people in this land, Lord. There are people who cannot make sense of what they've experienced. They cannot understand why they've experienced it. And only you with the comfort and power of your Holy Spirit can make sense. Lord, can give a peace that passes understanding. A peace that is better than knowledge. Oh, we thank you that there is no one else like you. Come and flow through this land.
We're going to pause and take a short break. Remember to email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Tell me what the most life-giving discipline, either physically or spiritually, that you do. You don't have to do it all the time, but I want to know what brings life to you. We're talking about physical and spiritual health. And when God starts to heal those deep places in our soul and we abide in Christ and trust Him, that's when fruit happens. That's when life happens. Talking about balance that works when we come back. That song, and I chose that song specifically for today, Calvary Covers It All, because we're talking about physical and spiritual balance and health. And as I said at the opening of the show, these are the two disciplines that are first to go for us before we burn out and fall out of balance and wonder what in the world happened. But truly, we strive, we eat sometimes to medicate our pain, we strive to compensate for our insecurities. And if we could cease our striving, as Psalm 46:10 says, and know that He is God. If in those places where we're tempted to medicate and tempted to strive, we could pull back and say, I'm not going to eat for the sake of medicating pain. I'm not going to strive to prove to the world I'm something that I don't even believe that I am. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to trust Him for my identity. I'm going to trust Him to heal my soul and make me whole and cover my sins and my shortcomings. So my whole life, instead of living in reaction to my stuff, is going to be lived in response to God's love. That's the abiding life. That's the fruitful life. And then you, when you eat, you actually taste the food and it tastes good. And when you serve, you're doing it out of a place of gratitude and response and not reaction. And really, this time is going by so fast. But we're going to be talking about, just for the rest of the hour, physical, spiritual health. And what I want to know from you, I've got 5 copies of Balance That Works When Life Doesn't. This is one of my first books I published over a decade ago, and it's on physical and spiritual health. Love for you to email me. And if you've got a life-giving discipline, I want you to share it with me. It doesn't mean you do it all the time, but it's just that thing that you go, this brings life to me, and sometimes I wish I would do it more often. You can also call 877-933-2484. Email Susie@myfaithradio.com. I have to give the first copy to Jill, who emailed me. I thought it was fantastic what she wrote. And I addressed this in the book, and I was so impressed with this. I love what she had to say. Let me just say, she says, love the topic you're sharing today. This has been something the Lord's been working on in my life. Next to my daily time spent with the Lord in the morning over coffee and the Word, my most needed discipline has been having a nightly routine to wind down and lay aside the cares of the day. The routine begins at 8 p.m. and gets me ready for sleep no later than 9:30. It includes reading, but not on a computer or a tablet because the light from the electronics disturbs the quality of my sleep. And this is scientifically proven true. And this is something that we constantly talk about, is that bedtime routine that involves kind of winding down so you get into a different rhythm at night. And I'm telling you, Jill, you get a copy because I absolutely love what you had to say. I think it was fantastic. So, so great. So we're going to talk about 3 components to balance. And this applies whether you're in a season of great favor and health or a season of great trial and crisis. overwork or underemployment. All right, here it is. Input, output, rest. This applies to you if you live in Africa or if you live in Minnesota. We all take in, we all put out, and we all need to recover. These are like, consider them like three levers, okay? And the imbalance happens when one is overemphasized at the expense of the other. So if you have too much input, let's say physically, you're eating way more than you probably physically need, and you're not balancing it with output, you're going to be overweight. You're going to deal with some maybe cardiovascular disease and other kinds of things, injuries, sickness. And then there's rest. So often you might have people that are running hard, they're eating well and they're exercising hard, but they're not resting. Guess what happens? You break down, you get injured, you get sick. We can't emphasize one at the expense of the other. So if you're in a season where you're not able to take in a lot of time for sleep and for rest and for time with the Lord, you have no business being on five committees at church. I'm just saying, right? Dr. Swenson, we could call him Dr. Margin because he is the guy who speaks on margin. He says, while undivided devotion to one cause can bring great success and vault a person to prominence, such priority structure often leaves that person's life in a state of disorder. Thus, it's not uncommon to discover a physician who fails as a parent, an entertainer who fails as a spouse, a pastor who neglects his personal health, or an executive who fails in all of these areas. In other words, you might excel in one area to the neglect of others, but it's just not sustainable. When we come back, we're going to talk about just some tangible tips for physical and spiritual health. And love for you. If you got a question about physical, spiritual health, I'll do my best to answer. Give me a call, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484, or email Susie@myfaithradio.com. If you want to go in the drawing for a copy of the Balance book, make sure you include your mailing address. More talking about balance when we come back. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Having a great conversation with you. I am. Isn't this fun? I'd love for you to call in and have an actual conversation with you. I'm getting some great emails, though, talking about physical and spiritual health. Because, you know, we have a lot of great hopes when we start the new year with our new year's resolutions, but we kind of tend to fizzle out. Stats usually prove we fizzle out around February. So I want to talk about a sustainable lifestyle when it comes to our physical and our spiritual health. Because sometimes we make these lofty goals and we do too much too soon. And if we can just take baby steps and think of it as a lifestyle change, we truly can adapt a healthy rhythm physically and spiritually. Before the break, I talked about these three levers, these three components to balance that apply to anybody and everybody, no matter where you live, rich, poor, old and young, here they are. Input, output, and rest. If you want to take a look at yourself physically, spiritually, it's a great way to discern if you're in balance, why that would be, right? Your input, your output, and your recovery time. We all need to recover. We're all wired to move. That's physically and spiritually, and we're all wired for nourishment. And so maybe you're someone on the physical realm that you eat more than you are able to burn off. Well, the result will be obesity. It could be cancer. In fact, you know what? Years ago, the three biggest killers of Christians, believe this or not, cancer, obesity, and heart disease. Isn't that amazing? When you think about it, oftentimes we eat to medicate, we eat to comfort. And when we can deal with what's underneath that and let God deal with some of those places in our hearts, then the food actually starts to taste better. So I want to give you just some basic tips for healthy eating. Maybe these are things you already know. And just a reminder, I've got a few copies of Balance That Works When Life Doesn't. It's a book I wrote over a decade ago. Love to get them in your hands. So email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Give me your mailing address. We'll put you in a drawing. If you've got a life-giving discipline that you want to share, maybe it'll help someone else. Send that along as well. All right, healthy tips for eating. One is to stay away from fad diets. You know what I'm saying? If it's an all one kind of a food diet, now that's one thing to do a cleanse, but it's a whole other thing to be going from one fad diet to the next. So just begin to think of this more as a lifestyle change, because quick solutions, you know, they quickly fade, and anything worth having takes some time, right? Cut your portions. Just start there. cut your portions and see what happens, and don't eat to fullness. One of our guests had said that if you don't feel physical hunger a couple times a day, you're most likely overeating. So just try to shrink those portions. You're probably better off eating just, you know, five times a day, smaller meals, or, you know, smaller meals and a couple of healthy snacks. Try to have protein several times a day. That's really huge. You know, protein levels your blood sugar. Oftentimes we'll have a carb for breakfast and our blood sugar scoots up and then it drops down and then we get fatigued and brain foggy and hungry. Where if you have the presence of protein throughout the day, that levels your blood sugar. Protein is so important for muscle building, for healing those muscles and all kinds of other things, for metabolism. Excellent. I would say, and I might get an email from a soda manufacturer, but give up soda or cut way, way back. It's next to impossible, for one thing, to lose weight, even on diet soda. Soda drinks drains nutrients from our bodies. It drains bone strength. It can make you lose your taste for water. It's just not healthy. So I'm challenging you. Maybe you're somebody who drinks a whole lot of soda. Start there. Cut back. Do a fast and try to replace that intake for water. And which brings me to my next point. Drink lots of water. My hubby, years ago, I just said, try adding one discipline at a time. Let's start with water. Drink 10 glasses a day. Would you believe in 1 month he lost 10 pounds just from that one discipline? Water is hugely important. It helps, aids in metabolizing calories, carries nutrients through the body, transports waste, helps lubricate your joints, regulates your body temp. It's good for your skin. I mean, a massage therapist will be able to tell you if you drink a lot of water based on how your skin even feels. Isn't that amazing? Water does impact your health, so up your intake of water. Budget your treats, all right? I used to ask myself back when I struggled with my weight years and years ago, if I eat a candy bar in the closet, is it still fattening? And I actually learned it is. So if you budget your treats like you budget for vacations or a night out, you'll actually enjoy those treats a little bit more. So don't you have to eat them in the closet or under the table. Budget for them. If you know you're going to have a wonderful dessert, then get on the treadmill or go out for a brisk walk. Balance it out. That's the healthy thing, right? Keep your diet plate colorful. Don't overload on any one item, even carrots. If you overeat carrots, you'll turn orange. You know, all things in moderation, right? Remember the metabolic rule. Here's one. Maybe you know this, but you go to more than 3 hours without eating, your body goes into famine mode, basically, and your metabolism slows way down because our bodies have an amazing capacity to self-preserve. So if you are going these long, long stints without eating, your metabolism drops way slow. And then when you finally do eat, it burns that food at a very slow rate. Really, really important to try to ingest something every few hours. But again, keep those portions small. Keep protein present as well, all right? Practice partial fasting. If you're attached to a certain food and you get a little ugly when you don't get it, I mean, what is that commercial where it's like, eat a Snickers. You're not you when you're hungry. Well, if you have your little thing, and it's just your little thing, but everybody else says, whoa, watch out if she doesn't get it. I dare you to fast it. Lay it down for a while and just ask God, I want more of you. I want nothing to master me but you. I dare you to start fasting because whatever it is you get from that thing, you can get an increasing measure from God and you want to be free, right? This isn't about legalism. It's actually about freedom. Here's another one. Take responsibility for your own health. Eat for the right reasons. But if you're mad or stressed or anxious, always choose exercise over food and pray while you exercise. You'll be so much more energized when it's all said and done. Just a tangible tip here, don't weigh yourself more than once a week. It's too depressing, and our bodies fluctuate with body fluids and all those kinds of things. So don't get on that scale more than once a week. I would say don't look in the mirror longer than you have to. Maybe you've heard my old adage, I say in the morning for us women, paint the barn and get on with the day. Do what you have to do with what you got and move on and focus on the inner life. Focus on loving other people. Focus on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of your faith. When we fixate and focus on what we see in the mirror, we become very self-focused people, right? When you walk outside today, notice the unique sky that God painted for you. Take a deep breath and thank him for the freedom and the health that you enjoy. Even if you're sick, if you have a measure of health, that you can be upright on your feet, enough to go to the store, meet a friend, thank him. There's things to be thankful for. Here's another health diet input tip. Walk away from toxic conversations. There are people that have the gift of discouragement, people who gossip or always looking for a little barb in the conversation. Garbage in, garbage out. Walk away from such conversations. And when you eat, slow down. Take a breath. And before you eat, Notice God's provision for you. I want you to taste every bite of the food and understand we live in a free country. We are able to go to a restaurant and order food and eat it. So slow down, pause and thank God for your food and taste it and eat it. When you feel strong physically, do your best. When you feel weak, hold your ground. And when you blow it, thank God for his new mercies and get up and start again. Don't beat yourself up. And oftentimes when we blow it, like if we overeat on one case or another, what we tend to do is we justify it by saying, well, you know, it's Wednesday and I blew it. I'll start again on Monday. And then you give yourself like 5 more days to blow it. I think you should acknowledge those moments as just what they are, moments. You blow it, you eat too much to fullness at lunch, get home and sneak in a workout and balance it out. And I'm telling you, that's the sustainable lifestyle. So that's input. I'm amazed at how fast this time is going, because of course I always have more content than I do time, but I want you to hear this song. It's Matt, it's the Audrey Assad song, I Shall Not Want, and it's based on the 23rd Psalm. And this, I want to insert this song here because the Lord is my shepherd. That's what Scripture says. I shall not want. And oftentimes we forget that everything we need is found in him. And these hungers, these cravings, we go for a temporary solution. And it keeps us captive to our cravings. But if we can just pause and say, everything I have, I need, is found in you. You're my shepherd. I shall not want. I'm telling you what, that is the beginning of a healthful, healthy life. Let's listen in.
Taste your
love that song. You know, it starts and it ends with Jesus. And I'm wanting so much to tie this all together that sometimes we compartmentalize our physical and our spiritual health. But we carry this treasure in these earthen vessels so that we know the powers of God and out of us. We are spiritual beings because we are created in God's image. And so even our physical health is an offering to God. And the way that we steward our health to the best of our ability is an offering to God. So we're talking about just some of these basic things that we let go of are the very things that help us last long and finish strong. And we have to get out of our mindset that it's selfish to exercise, selfish, as Joel talked about, getting to bed at time. That's stewardship. It's wisdom, because that's what allows you to be in it for the long haul. So a few minutes ago, I gave some tips on just some physical diet tips, you know, shrink your portions, drink more water, make sure you got some protein present. And as far as physical rest and exercise, I'm run out of time because I'm going to spend the last segment on spiritual health. But I cannot encourage you enough to do what Jill had said and create a bedtime routine where the screens come off, if possible, 8 o'clock, 8:30 at night. Take a bath, drink a cup of tea, do some reading, do whatever you can do to switch into that nighttime rhythm. And as far as exercise, I know some love, like I love to exercise. Some of us are wired that way, but every single body is wired to move. If you understand the science of the human body, it's made for movement. So if you're somebody who hates to exercise, God bless you, that makes it harder. But ask God to show you a form of exercise that you will love. And he will. Maybe it's walking. Maybe it's cycling. Maybe it's an aerobic class with other friends, or walking in prayer, walking with a friend. I dare you. Ask God, show me not only a kind of exercise, a mode of exercise, but if you've got a friend that I can exercise with, and then help me to carve it out of my schedule. It will pay you back in dividends. I'm telling you, it'll change your body structure. It'll raise the serotonin level in your brain. It's like an antidepressant. It helps you feel better, have more energy, reduces stress, exercise, rest, and shrink those portions. When we come back, we're going to spend that last segment talking about input, output, and rest as it relates to our spiritual health. More when we come back. Pick that song, Toby Mac, because if you need an album to work out to, get Toby Mac's latest album, Fantastic Exercise, okay? We're talking physical and spiritual health for this hour, and we spent pretty much the whole show talking physical on input, output, and rest, tangible tips for just a healthy diet and exercise and rest. We're switching over, and we will barely have enough time. Maybe I'll have to devote another whole show to this another day, but talking about spiritual balance. 1 Timothy 4:8 says this, "For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come." So sowing into our spiritual lives has value for this life and the life to come. Something I noticed when I wrote this book, Balance That Works When Life Doesn't, all these years ago, is I interviewed lots of different leaders and people who volunteer at church. And just as there are consequences in the physical realm of having too much input and not enough output, and vice versa, there are consequences in the spiritual realm. So those who overserve, that's too much output without enough spiritual input. So they're the people on five committees, but really don't have much of a prayer time to speak of. You know what the side effects and the consequences have been? Self-righteousness, fatigue, impatience, weakened relationships. So they're serving all kinds of places, but they easily get frustrated. They tend to feel self-righteous towards those who aren't serving enough. They're overly tired, and they're impatient, and their relationships are strained. Now, for those who have too much spiritual input, so they sit in the pew, and they receive a lot of input from everybody else working hard, but they refuse to engage their spiritual muscles. They refuse to serve. You know what the consequences are there and the bad fruit that comes out of that? Critical. They tend to be critical of how the servers are doing it. They tend to feel disconnected, but they blame others for it. And they tend to be disengaged from the pulse of the life of what's going on. They just notice what's wrong with everything. And we don't want to be in either one of those camps, right? So going back to those three levers, input, output, rest, we can't escape that, right? Because the Bible says, what you sow is what you grow. God will not be mocked. And so we have to pay attention to what's coming in, what's going out, and that we have rest. God wired us to need rest, and it's a blessed gift from a Father who loves us. So how do we stay in balance? How do we nourish ourselves spiritually? One of the ways is we guard our hearts. We keep our heart a sacred place, and we don't let those weeds of bitterness and discontentment sprout up. But this does require an intentional pursuit of purity, an intentional, intimate walk with God. And I tell you, be careful what you speak over your life, what you speak over your circumstances, over people who you struggle with, right? And when you've come up on a quiet moment, don't fill it with noise, because guarding your heart also doesn't mean just keeping the bad stuff out. It means sowing good seeds in. And truly, when you do that, when you let God speak to your heart, when you allow him to bring correction and redirection, the pure in heart are the ones who see God. And we can't be fruitful if we're not cultivating a listening lifestyle. And this is what A.W. Tozer wrote regarding our time with the Lord. Listen to this. Stay in the secret place till the surrounding noises begin to fade out of your heart and a sense of God's presence envelops you. Listen for the inward voice till you learn to recognize it. Stop trying to compete with others. Give yourself to God and then be what and who you are without regard to what others think. Reduce your interests to a few. Don't try to know what will be of no service to you. Never let your mind remain scattered for very long. Call home those roving thoughts. Gaze on Christ with the eyes of your soul and practice spiritual concentration. This goes back to that focused passion equals forward movement. If you're somebody who has way more output than input and you find yourself feeling fatigued, self-righteous, because this other people aren't serving as much as you, impatient, and you feel like your relationships are just off, I challenge you to get with God. I challenge you to write some of these things down and say, Lord, are you still blessing these? Are these things you still want me to do? What do I need to pull out of? And then start to carve out time to meet with God. Now, if you've got too much input, that you are one of those Bible study girls and you're probably in three studies and you watch sermons online and you attend church every Sunday, but there's no engagement, I challenge you to ask the Lord, what in my hand do you want that I can lay hold of more of you? When you start to engage and you apply what you've been learning, that's when you gain some spiritual muscle, because you're intended to be a flow-through account of God's blessing, right? And when you're in a season of hardship and you can't serve a lot, find the high ground. And the high ground is to remember who you are and whose you are. Pour into your spirit. Remind yourself of what's true. But if you're in a season of favor where you can just make hay and you can go for it, run hard. But don't forget to rest. Don't forget to feed your soul. Don't forget to trust God that he is the source of everything you need. I want to play one more song, if I can, here before we get to ready to wrap up and move on to hour two, in which case we're going to be hearing from Lauren Chandler about God being the anchor for our soul. This is another Audrey Assad song. Actually, I'm switching, Matt. This is one I want to switch to, Robin Mark, When It's All Been Said and Done. And I want to have this one at my funeral. This is another one that Sarah Groves is going to sing for me. She already agreed, I think. Anyway, I want you to think about the end of your life. What do you want it said about you? If you want to get there, we got to start here. We got to start with abiding life, living in the truth of his love, living in response to his love and not reaction to our stuff, not medicating our insecurities. What do you want it to be said of you when it's all been said and done? Let's listen in.
When it's all been said and done, there is just one thing that matters. Did I do my best to live for truth? Did I live my life for you? When it's all been said and done, my treasures will mean nothing. Only what I've done for love's reward will stand the test of time. It's all been said and done. There is just one thing that matters. Did I do my best to live for truth? Did I live my life for you? Lord, I live my life.
Don't you want that? I want that more than anything in the whole world. I pray you've been encouraged today thinking about our physical and our spiritual health. It's not a selfish thing to tend to your physical and spiritual health. It's actually stewardship. I'm going to close with a prayer from the book. Listen in, and I pray this blesses you. Father God, I couldn't ask you to give more than you already have. I'm overwhelmed by the gift of your Son. Every morning I wake up to fresh mercies, fresh nourishment, and fresh power from above. Help me to find that sacred place of rest in you. And when I find it, help me to set up camp there. Help me to live there. I long to please you with my faith, the faith that declares my God is for me. And since he's for me, who can stand against me? There's so much more you want to pour into me. Help me, Lord, to slow down long enough to receive it. Oh, how I love you. Increase my hunger and desire for your presence. You are everything to me. Amen. Well, I hope you were encouraged today. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast of this first hour up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Remember to email me if you want to get a copy of Balance That Works with When Life Doesn't. I know the title of my own book. Got 5 copies to get into your hands. So if you send your mailing address, you'll go in the drawing. We'll get a handful of you a copy of the book. Coming up next, I'll be talking to Lauren Chandler. She's wife of pastor and author Matt Chandler, talking about how Jesus is the anchor of our soul. The title of her book is Steadfast Love. Don't go away. Hour 2 is up next.